Greetings, citizens of Earth. You are barking a happy tune with my pal Smurf of Smurf and the Magic Tones on 5280 Geek.
Live from the Figa Studios, it's Weekend Geek Update. Smurf here, checking in after a very long couple of weeks. Ready to bring you the latest and greatest in geek news, sponsored by Suzy Q's, who is the most brilliant jewelry maker you will ever find, of unique items that complement just about every outfit you could possibly think of. Cosplay, evening wear, and even your daily streetwear. Visit SuzyQs.com to check out her latest creations, or visit Instagram, where she's got some stuff always posted. She's taking orders. Get Christmas stuff in now, because believe it or not, October is behind us. Halloween is over, and now let the onslaught of Christmas decorations and music begin. Did you miss me? I have been a busy camper. October is not a slow month for a Ghostbuster. Let's just put it that way. What has gone on? There has been, like, some major, like, stuff. But, again, it's like this weird void of things going on. I would think that we would have, like, some great, huge geek news announcements. But, again, just kind of middle of the road type of stuff. It's like everyone's holding their breath right now. For obvious reasons, of course. And rightfully so. Nobody wins. This is a very, very interesting time. Yes, interesting. And I'll leave it at that. So with that said, moving on to what caught my eye. So a couple weeks ago was... last week. Last week was Mando Monday, which is hilarious to me because when Monday Night Football has Star Wars trailers, so, you know, those that don't normally watch sporting events have to watch sporting events so that they can see the new trailer because they're anxiously awaiting the new Star Wars buzz, it just cracks me up. I don't know who Monday Night Football's trying to cater to anymore, because let's face it, I don't even think they know their market at this point. But it was cool to see. Of course, I was watching the game anyway for fantasy football. But Mandalorian, it lands. It's spectacular. Holy crap. And I don't want to do any major spoilers at this point, but I'm sure what I'm about to say isn't going to come as a shock when I say Timothy Oliphant is just outrageously talented. The man is just... And he's filming in the desert. He's doing this, you know, awesome character in Mandalorian. You're in the and his hair doesn't move. His hair is absolutely perfect. I'm just in awe of the hair game that Timothy brings to Star Wars. It is regal, absolutely regal. So, watching the first episode, some major takeaways and reveals for the show. Favreau did not pull any punches, and he just came right at you with it. And of course, we do get a reappearance of the ice cream maker that has gone down in Star Wars lore. That is absolutely awesome to see that come back in. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's kind of gone on in the cosplay world. The ice cream maker, which made this weird appearance, I believe it was in Empire, when they're evacuating Cloud City, and you have this guy that's just running with this strange little white tubular prop. And we used it, we saw it in the first episode of the last Mandalorian series, or is it second season? Or second episode, where the metal is in the little case. That's the ice cream maker. So, again, we get to see that make its reappearance in this episode. So it's good to see some recurring characters. And the Gamorrean guards get, like, a huge spotlight on them. And I was in love. This whole episode was nothing but way cool fan service. I mean, we even get Weequay, who is a skiff guard from Jabba's palace in Jedi. At least that was the name that he used when he was on the skiff and the carded figure that followed. So to see that kind of fan service, that kind of attention to detail, this series and franchise is in the perfect hands of Favreau. J.J. Abrams, you know, God love him, did what he could to salvage whatever, you know, The Rise of Skywalker was and all of that came with that. But, I mean, just to the attention, the detail, and it's so perfect. And I was right. By my timeline, we are after Jedi because they directly reference the destruction of the second Death Star. So, best calculations, we're about 5 years after Jedi. So there's a lot of weird things going on. We get some hints, we get some clues. And I don't want to spoil anything more, and I won't. But if you, and I'm sure probably the majority of people have watched the show, and I don't want to spoil it for anyone that may have not been able to sit down. With Halloween and everything that has gone on, you may not be on up to task with your Disney Plus. So, yeah, so worth it. Also, on the other side, you have Star Wars Discovery, which is, I mean, solid hit. I mean, if the movies had been this good throughout, I think we would have had a different outcome for Star Trek. But Discovery has been on point, extremely entertaining. We're getting, again, more fan service, more kind of inklings, especially with what's gone on with the burn, and starships are kind of crippled, and we get a little peek at what's going on Earth. So, absolutely just what they're doing. And Jonathan Franks did direct this episode, so I was happy to see him still in a director chair, still helping shape the Star Trek world. I don't know. I mean, back and forth. Of course, Mandalorian's going to win in my book, but it's just really good to see these two franchises just putting out such good content, such user-friendly content, fan-favorite content, because this is just tremendous. Well done. Well done. Standing ovation. Yay! So there you go. Those are the two shows that I'm currently hooked on. With Lovecraft ending, which was such a strange ending for me, but I'm okay. I guess I'm okay with it. But it was kind of funny after Lovecraft ended. Of course, everyone is wondering, is there going to be a season two? And to that point, nobody really knows or has said. But there were some articles and topics that came out, and this is an excerpt from one of those articles. Though Lovecraft Country often made headlines, there is no clear word on if the show will receive a second season. Green herself has played coy with the topic, hinting that if one comes, she has some ideas in store. Showrunner Misha Green revealed with other projects that she would like to work on outside of the Lovecraft sphere, including an adaptation of Stephen King's It. Well, what do you think? I don't know if I want to see her tackle It, to be honest with you. I think that it would be cool, maybe? I don't know. It is just so, I don't know, abused. And I didn't like the new film, at least the second one. The first one still was kind of like, okay. But, I mean, it's a dark story, convoluted story to plow through. What I would love to see Misha Green do is The Stand. I think that all of The Stand stuff has missed the mark. And what would be amazing to see at this point is, like, a serialized Stand, because there's so many things, there's so many elements that go into The Stand, and I know that they're already working on it and there's stuff coming, but I think that it needs to be more of in the vein, because Lovecraft Country was creative. It was wild. It was like a Lovecraft novel every week. So to take that kind of creative energy and that vision and apply it to the stand, I really think that you could come out with a story, a visual representation that rivals the novel. Because that book is not, I mean, that's like War and Peace. That thing is huge. No spider is going to stand up against that book, okay? Thrown, smashed, whatever. The fact is, with all that information, with all that visual energy, that there could be something in there if you just approach it like they did Lovecraft. Hit or miss for you. I really admire what they did. There are a couple episodes even I'm just kind of like, but then it's Lovecraft. You kind of come to expect a little strangeness. But that's my thought on it. I mean, I could be off, and maybe I am. And who's to say? There are other, you know, Stephen King books out there that probably could do better with a visual representation. I honestly, my favorite Stephen King book to date is still Dragon's Eyes. And I think that would also be kind of like a cool adaptation that we could see. I mean, it's a really short, simplistic story, but it's still kind of fun, and you could jazz it up a little bit with some new special effects, maybe even expand the story. And of course, I know right away everyone's jumping up and down. And in fact, Brett Leader One and I were talking about this in front of Brian, and he was just like, well, what about the Gunslinger? And as much as I loved the Gunslinger, I hated the frickin' ending. The final book is just bullshit. So just pissed me off reading all this, and this is how you end it. I was so angry. No spoilers. But I agree. The Gunslinger could be one that would be adaptable, and maybe, you know, you could use the Deadwood sets at least for the first two books, kind of expand past that. So it's hard to say. It really is. There's no telling what's up their sleeve, but I'm happy to say I did figure out the HBO Max thing, because this was just driving me nuts, because I keep seeing all of these things hitting HBO Max. And I mean, HBO Max is positioning itself to, I don't know, just dominate. I think they really honestly have their eye on Netflix, and they're basically giving Netflix the finger and saying, all right, we're coming for you with the shows that they're bringing in. The Raised by Wolves, I finally was able to sit down and watch the first two episodes, and holy crap, that is, wow. I this is how I responded after watching the first two episodes. I really don't know what to say, but other than, wow, okay, totally sold on this. So I went back and watched the first episode again, because I really feel like I was like missing something, but I wasn't. It is really well-crafted story. It is very intense and very misleading on purpose, and it's very well done. And I don't want to compare it to Westworld. I really don't. But in the same vein, I'm kind of like, okay, it has that first season of Westworld feel to it, where I'm like, so is it this, is it that? But Raised by Wolves absolutely needs to be added to your watch list. So in the precursor, the anticipation to your question, I don't have HBO Max. Okay, so what I did do is find out, I went on the deep dive. If you have HBO, if you download your HBO app on supported devices, sign in through your TV, digital, or mobile provider, here are the providers that if you're already getting HBO through, you can go in and set up. It used to be HBO Now, is now HBO Max, and if you're on Apple TV, AT&T TV, Cox, Direct, Hulu, Optimum, Spectrum, Verizon Fios, whatever the fuck that is, and Xfinity. Yay. So yes, I do have HBO Max. after all of my bitching, I'm still bitching because there's people out there that don't pop for HBO Max. I know people, or for HBO, I know people that borrow other people's logins through like Amazon Prime so that they can get HBO that way. But I guess whatever you do at the end of the day, because I also know people that are trying to figure out how to get the CBS streaming because they just want to watch Discovery because it is getting such rave reviews. I don't know what to tell you. Maybe if you're nice to me, I'll share my HBO Max login with you. Just maybe. Because there are some spectacular shows coming. I think just the other day I saw them land just another one that looked absolutely creepy as hell. And I'm like, okay, I want to get in on that one too. So HBO's coming up with some very inventive programming. But if you have HBO, you have HBO Max. No extra cost. Go check it out. You have to probably set up a login and all of that. Mine actually was kind of floating out there. Evidently, I had set it up on my Xbox, and I totally spaced it. It just was sitting off on an app somewhere. So that's fine. Yay! Oh, what else? What else is going on? Oh, in other news, Michael Keaton declares on Jimmy Kimmel Live he is the best Batman. Just in case you're curious. I have to admit, there's so many stories floating around. There's so many rumors about Keaton coming back. Is it Batman Forever? Is it The Flash? Is it this? Is it Justice League with Snyder? There's so many different stories. There's so many different rumors. And I'm with you. I'm anxious and excited to see it, but I'm still waiting for, like, the ink to dry. I'm still waiting for them to actually start production because everybody's talking. Everybody, let's face it, all we have right now are rumors because nobody's producing, nobody's doing anything. Everyone's just kind of holding their breath and waiting. So, Michael Keaton is coming back. We don't know what. He is actually not at liberty to say. He came right out and just said, no comment. He won't. So that's fine. So that kind of just gives you a little hint, kind of a little story right there. Kind of like, ooh, so there is something is what you're saying by not saying. Ooh. So we will see Keaton in a bat suit again. I'm willing to wager. I would wager a Batman comic. Yes. If he doesn't show. Batman comic, your choice. And that's a lot. So many. But I just thought it was fun because, you know, not like he hasn't, you know, he's, you know, Keaton has wrestled with the Batman fame. Is he Batman? Isn't he Batman? He leaves Hollywood for a while. He comes back, does Birdman, which is, you know, kind of like a weird, you know, social commentary on his role as Batman and everything. And Birdman was absolutely inventive and so creative of a film and really loved it. And he even has a nice kind of a cool story with him and Jack Nicholson from, I guess they're still friends and they still talk, which is cool. I like to see that because, you know, you hear all of these disaster stories on set of, well, we couldn't work with this person. They're a total diva. Or, yeah, this person is just an asshole. I refuse to work with them and blah, 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 blah. But nope. Michael Keaton, Keats, as Nicholson refers to him as, are still buddies to this day. It's strange. Batman and the Joker hanging out, watching movies, eating popcorn. Yeah. So did you have a good Halloween? Mine was the usual. Hung out, went to the castle, scared some kids. Entertained some kids, educated some kids on paranormal activity, got a couple of investigations done, and yeah, so that was intriguing. Now it's on to Christmas, and what better thing to say Christmas other than the first ever Walking Dead holiday special, which is set for December on AMC Plus. Yes, that's right, you heard me, AMC Plus. Evidently, this is just strange. I was reading this, and everyone knows I have no love lost for Chris Hardwick. And he just got stranger and stranger with Talking Dead, and I mean, we talked about this in length with Red and Private Cheeseburger, so you already know my thoughts on it. But the whole thing, okay, AMC Plus, yet another streaming service, great. Will be breaking ground with the streaming service or show with a special Walking Dead holiday special. According to AMC, December 13th, the special will be hosted by Chris Hardwick, featuring a number of the show's cast members. Other than that, that is all of the detail that we really have at the moment. So I don't know what else we're gonna get with AMC Plus. So okay, there's that piece of juicy news hanging out there. And then in addition, now we've got a new Talking Dead special or Walking Dead special. Because if we're going to have, in my mind, a Christmas special for The Walking Dead consists of decorating the tree with, various appendages, fingers, digits, and, maybe a couple of talking heads just, that can sing carols. Yeah. Carols for Carol. It will be fun. Fun Christmas joy for all. And what do you use for garland? Oh, yeah, let your mind run with that thought. So it's not really a Christmas special in the fact that we're going to see them, in the middle of the zombie apocalypse, stop to cook a turkey and put gifts under the tree. Again, talking heads. But I'm just shaking my head at this going, why does AMC need to do this? Why do we need a Christmas special from The Walking Dead? There's so many other shows. And even if I'm not a fan of Fear the Walking Dead or the new show with the kids, at least, just kind of approach Christmas through one of them. The Walking Dead is done. It really is. And I know that there are some major rumors circling around that we may or may not see Rick. Who knows? Again, more rumors floating around than actual fact. So, in fact, one of them is, Nick Gratero is not coming back for season 10. So, Greg Nicotero, yeah. So, if Greg's not coming back, that's who's in charge? The dead people are in charge. As we get closer to this story and as more facts come out, I will be sure to let you know. But mark December 13th. Yeah, do you think that date was just kind of randomly picked? Probably not. December 13th will be the special, and we'll see what kind of nonsense Chris Hardwick decides to pull out for all of us eagerly waiting children. What else is going on? Oh, Netflix. Jeez almighty. Netflix is taking a very bold step forward. And we're talking about developing, series to adapt. So Netflix, in their infinite amount of wisdom, has decided to develop a Assassin's Creed series. Netflix has partnered with Ubisoft to develop a live-action animated and anime series based on the Assassin's Creed video game franchise. Quote from Netflix, "We're excited to partner with Ubisoft and bring to life, the rich, multi-layered storytelling that Assassin's Creed is beloved for." And this is from the Netflix VP of original programming, Peter Friedlander. And he goes on further to say, from its breathtaking historical worlds and massive global appeal as one of the best-selling video game franchises of all times, we are committed to carefully crafting epic and thrilling entertainment based on this distinct IP and provide a deeper dive for fans and our members around the world to enjoy. So is this a good idea? I mean, we're dealing with more than what, 10 years? 10 years of Assassin's Creed games and lore and storytelling. I mean, you had the failed attempt with Michael Fassbender, who, in my mind, can do no wrong. I really like the guy. And in Glorious Bastards and Prometheus, in all of his films that he has done, he's just so gritty. Such a good character actor. But if he couldn't save that dismal train wreck of a movie, I don't know if maybe this is the better approach for Assassin's Creed, and maybe so. I mean, Castlevania has been a much better series than I thought it was going to be, because, well, you need to watch it, and then you'll see for yourself. But I don't know. That's why I kind of scratch my head. As much as I love the game and the lore and the back and forth between the assassins and the Templars, it really makes for a great drama. It's got all of the perfect elements, especially when you're dealing with the guilds and them screwing each other over constantly. It really does make a great setting for a story. Now, if Netflix can pull it off, that's an entirely different thing. And how do you approach the whole, you know, interaction with current day and the flashbacks back in time? And I mean, it can get convoluted, but I don't know. I'm still kind of miffed about how Netflix adapted Warrior Nun and their whole approach to that. So that is still kind of, even though they've got like an infinite amount of more hits versus misses in my book, that still is just, I really, really just gnaws at me. I don't like it. It was just too wordsy. Come on. And poor storytelling. Anyway, what elements, what time period? I mean, we got 10 years of Assassin's Creed to deal with. What are they going to do? I don't know. I'm curious. But is it a good idea? Let me know. I would be curious to see what your whole thoughts are on it, because maybe I'm off the mark. Maybe this needs to happen. Again, another series that probably would be better adapted for television or cable other than a movie. So, yeah, kind of proves my point that I made earlier. Damn, I'm starting to make sense to myself. That's dangerous. Anyway, moving on. And speaking of moving on, this story is, I don't know how I feel about it. So this story kind of got me, I don't know, a wee bit nostalgic, but at the same point, kind of annoyed. And really kind of scratching my head, like, okay, and maybe things are moving more towards the smaller screen with everything going on with the Rona, and, I mean, poor AMC showed, for quarter three, 91% loss in profits. So the writing's on the wall for theaters. But as we go to the small screen, you have something like this. Tim Burton bringing the Addams Family back to TV. He's also working alongside the masterminds behind Smallville, Alfred Gould and Miles Millar, who, I don't know, I guess I kind of like these guys. Smallville ended on such a shitty note for me, and the fact that I went through all of these seasons, I mean, there were some good episodes, but just how they dragged this series out for, what was it, 12 years? I gotta look, hold on. As I start to look on the interwebs, I think it was something like, it was 10 seasons, 10 years, they dragged Smallville out, and we never got to see Superman in a cape, even in the final episode. I think it was just kind of like just a quick glimpse. So just to drag that whole thing out. Ugh. So, yes, great. They're part of the product problem. Project. However you want to look at it. But they are going to be working with them for another live adaptation of the Addams Family. Yay, I guess. I don't know. So I watched the new animated film that just came out where Charlize Theron is the voice for Morticia. And there's a bunch of other celebrities in there that, I mean, they do a good job. It's an animated. I mean, I think Charlize Theron did probably the best out of all of them as far as the voice acting and just kind of carried that Morticia vibe for me. But it was okay. I mean, I don't think Chaz Adams would have been too disappointed, but also if Chaz Adams were still alive, I'm sure he would have had more input and maybe made it go in a different direction. But there were some very classic elements to the animated movie. And I kind of was hoping that maybe we would see a film based off of that, because it was fun, it was quirky, it was everything you come to expect from the Addams Family. And even a little bit more, still paying tribute and still trying to take it into a new direction. I didn't ask Red if she had watched it, because she's the Chaz Adams expert. That girl has read and disseminated everything about Chaz Adams you can possibly imagine. And I know she was on the fence about seeing the film. So, with Tim Burton, I don't know if we're going to get something we want, if he's going to Burton it. I honestly don't know, because even going back and revisiting like Sleepy Hollow these last couple of weeks with Halloween and everything going on, I really did like his portrayal of Ichabod and the whole Sleepy Hollow thing. There were some, of course, over the top moments, but then when I look at like Dumbo and just shake my head about that, and there are elements like where he's just carried Beetlejuice way too far into his stuff, or his Batman, or, you know, but then there's Big Fish, which I really thoroughly enjoyed. So I mean, it really goes back and forth as far as which Tim Burton are we going to get. And is he the right person to head up an Addams Family project? That's the question. So, I mean, you're not going to really... I mean, if you look at the films, the Raul Julia, Angelica Houston portrayals are good. They're fine. They're acceptable, and it's stuff that was pulled out. But in my mind, when I think of the Addams Family, it's the show. It ran from 1964 through 1966, and John Astin and Carolyn Jones killed it. Their portrayals of Gomez and Morticia are the gold standard, absolutely. And you can't get any more, I don't know, outlandish than John Astin's delivery. He is just so genius. And he's so on point with Gomez, in my opinion. And I loved his whole kind of quirky, absent-minded sharpness that he had. It was perfect to me. And even to this day, if there is, like, you know, a rerun of it or something I just kind of catch flipping through the channels, I'm absolutely going to sit and take it in. But I don't know. Because when you think about it, who's... you've got Burton, who always works with his core people. And, of course, since, you know, the fallout with, you know, his wife, now Eva Green steps in as, like, his go-to femme fatale, which I can kind of envision Eva Green as Morticia, maybe? I don't know. It'd be strange. It'd be like Elvira Morticia rather than Morticia Morticia. I don't know, because that one I just was... Eva Green is a lot more, I don't know, sultry, I would think. At least to me, she is. And then, of course, the immediate reaction is Johnny Depp as Gomez. Don't let that happen. Because you know what we're going to get? We're going to get Jack Sparrow as Gomez. That's exactly what we're going to get. It's going to be something weird, or it's going to be some bad take of his Harry Potter character. This isn't the role for him. It really isn't. Who is it a role for? That is the million-dollar question. And I have to say, when you start to consider options out there. Of course, you know, Charlize Theron, who I mentioned earlier, would be perfect to do the live action. I mean, her delivery of the voice and characteristics of Morticia really came through in the animated, so I would love to see her potentially play the live action version. But if we're going to get a Gomez, I would really love to see Rami Malek of Freddie Mercury fame take the role. Come on, that would be beautiful. Oh my God, I could just totally see him just taking that and running with it. And of course, the other side, I mean, what would Sleepy Hollow be without Christina Ricci? Could she do Morticia? I don't know. I don't think Christina Ricci is tall enough or statuesque enough to do Morticia. As much as I love her portrayal in Sleepy Hollow and everything that she does, I just don't think that that would be, I don't know, I just don't think it's a fitting role for her. But to see Rami Malek and either Charlize Theron or Eva Green do this, I think would really be something special. It could be anyway. The question is, though, I'm not the executive. I'm not the one paying the bills. I know Tim Burton and his buddies are shopping this idea around. And, of course, Netflix is at the top waving their hands. Over here, over here. Our luck, it's probably going to end up on, like, Apple TV, and then I'm going to be pissed because that's, like, the one I'm not going to buy. Maybe Netflix will outbid everybody, potentially. If it ends up at HBO Max, that opens up a whole other land of opportunity for Burton, in my opinion. And then, of course, there's Amazon. But Amazon is always so particular about what they pick and they choose. So with the ride and the high of The Boys, would this be something that they'd want to go back? Is it not dark enough for them? Netflix does kind of have like that, we're edgy, but we still kind of are family friendly. I don't know. It's very curious. I'll be curious to see how this all plays out. In the end of the day, we get an Addams Family. Whether it's good or not, we'll see. But I'm hoping, and is it just, you know, pure comedy? Is it going to be like the original series where, you know, just little shorts? Or is there an underlining story, an ongoing plot? Do you create a plot for the Addams Family? That just seems so anti-Addams Family. Anyway, who knows? Also in TV news, the Arrowverse has released its dates for release for 2021 for four shows so far. All the shows that we kind of have been waiting for, which already have premiered at this point, we'd be like knee deep into everything. In fact, if we were running along the same timeline as we were last year, we would be coming into Crisis. So still in Crisis and still no shows. But we do have dates. Ta-da! The CW has officially announced premiere dates for the Arrowverse shows. Starting with, hold on, I'm scrolling so I can get the exact dates for you. There we go. Starting with the premiere for the CW, Batwoman, Black Lightning, The Flash, and Superman and Lois. All are set for January and February premieres. Batwoman Season 2 will kick things off on Sunday, January 17th at 8 p.m. This may be here or there, I don't know. Probably here, it's 8. I don't know, nationwide. While Black Lightning Season 4 will arrive a little under a month later on Monday, February 8th. Wow, such a leap. And then The Flash Season 7 premieres Tuesday, February 23rd. And Superman and Lois make their stunning debut the same date right after The Flash. So they're going to try and ride the popularity of The Flash into Superman and Lois, which only makes sense. I mean, television was doing that for years, so hopefully they just kind of pull in the audience and keep them captivated. So the shows that are still awaiting dates, Supergirl, of course, Legends of Tomorrow. What else? I think that's it. They haven't said anything on Stargirl yet as far as her new season, but I know they're kind of pushing off Supergirl just based on Melissa Benoist's pregnancy and her giving birth. So, you know, the poor woman does need a little break. Of course, she will be able to relax after the end of the Supergirl run, which I still think is so premature. I'm not sold on the Superman and Lois, and maybe I'll be wrong, but I really think this is going to miss. I don't really care about the Super Brats. I really don't. I don't. And maybe it'll be more than that. Maybe we'll involve more Kryptonian nonsense. I don't know, to be honest with you. I really don't know what they're thinking on this one. And that's fine. Flash and all of the rest of the team, I'm kind of excited to see what we'll do with Black Lightning. Black Woman's another show that's in upheaval as Ruby Rose steps out. And we get the new Batwoman. How that's handled will be kind of intriguing. So we'll wait till February. And they're also saying that they're going to be much shortened seasons this season. I think there's something like maybe 17 episodes for this year's batch. And Supergirl coming in at 20, so she can wrap up all her storylines and fade out
into the distance,
as it were. But there you go. Let me know what you think. What show are you looking forward to? Because right now, as it stands, it just looks like Flash for me and Black Lightning. I'm hoping that they do kind of integrate him a little bit further into the Arrowverse now that they're on, you know, our existing plane of existence and not on another Earth. And I just, yeah, there's so many possibilities, but with COVID and everything going on, who knows? And I don't even know about the major crossover this season. Is there going to be one? Fingers crossed. We'll see. I did see something interesting in the world of comics. Brian K. Vaughan, who's no stranger to the world of TV, you know, doing Lost and all of his different projects, was cornered by someone the other day. And, of course, right now his big comic book saga, which is on hiatus, as they are, him and Fiona are working diligently to come up with the final stretch for the comic book series. And of course, Why the Last Man being in development, then not in development, then in development. The question that was raised, will we ever see Saga come to TV or film? And of course, Brian K. Vaughan was very quick to say no. It's his baby. It's very protected. Him and Fiona work very closely to develop this story, the characters, the uniqueness, and the feel. And right now he's not ready. And this may change, because Lord knows it changed with Why the Last Man. Because for the longest time, he was extremely protective of this project. But given today's new environment, Why the Last Man, I don't know if it would be as big of a success. I don't know. It's just the political environment and everything that has gone on has changed so much that the statements Why was making have already been made, and it would be kind of a different story. So I'm curious, and so is he actually, to see what the new story is going to be or how that's all going to relate. So and when it comes to Saga, though, no, hands off. We won't see anything for that for a while. I'd love to see it actually as an animated series, kind of like Invincible. I don't think, because doing Saga as a regular show, I don't. That's going to be a big budget for the special effects team. That's a lot of work. That's more than Mandalorian. So, I think an animated kind of heavy metal style would be fun for Saga. If you haven't read Saga, you are missing out. You need to get on the wagon. There are a lot. All of it's in trades. Just go buy a trade. Read the first one. It's highly regarded by a lot of people who didn't think it was going to be as wickedly good as it is, and it's so worth the read. What else? Also in comic book news, this I found kind of interesting. The Titans show is introducing the Red Hood, and his costume kind of is a little bit different. With the Red Hood's origins being changed in the show, I'm curious to see what kind of direction they take Jason Todd in. So, for those of you that don't know, in the comic book, Jason Todd got beat to death with a crowbar by the Joker, and then later was revived in a Lazarus pit. So, you can see why he's a little edgy. In the show, for Titans, it's a little bit different. And I don't want to give away any spoilers on the show, because it is actually worth the watch. And to see them take kind of a, I don't know, it's more of like a Arkham Knight's style to the costume design. He kind of looks like he's a member of the Bat family, but he's not. But it looks like season three, he is going to be kind of one of the, I don't know, antagonists? Maybe? I don't know. I'm really intrigued by this particular take on the Red Hood. So what comes out of it, or how they're going to approach it, the costume design is intriguing enough for me to sign in. Sign on. Giddy up. Give me more. Give me more. As far as when we will get more on this, I don't think. No, they have not given a release date for Titans 3 as of right now. And I know Red Hood has gone through a few changes with the new 52 and Rebirth and what they want, how they want to portray him. Because let's face it, you know, his demise at the hands of the Joker is a little gruesome, because, you know, beating him to death with the crowbar wasn't enough. Then he blew him up. Yeah, not a good day for Robin. But, you know, fans got the vote. Do you keep Jason Todd or do you blow him up? Yeah, let's blow him up. And there you go. So I guess there will be some added friction between Jason Todd and Dick with the new season of Titans. It should be very interesting to see. Can't wait. What else is going on? There video game news. There was, and I talked about this on another podcast, the Mandalorian controller for Xbox. Beautiful work of art. You need to own it, buy it. It even makes me even think I should retire my Elite controller. No, not really. And buy this. I'll probably buy this anyway. I just won't use it. It'll sit there and look pretty. Yeah, because I need more pretty things sitting around the TV set. What else? And there is an interesting game coming out that I'm not sure I want to talk about, but it's because I don't remember the name. I remember reading the article and looking at it kind of like, okay. But it's kind of an interesting take on a new It's hard to explain. Just because it's a co-op game where you're kind of loosely Robin Hood stealing from kings and running off with their gold, and you're also competing against other gamers. It's called Hood Outlaws and Legends. And it's kind of, they're billing it as a unique take on Capture the Flag. You have, you know, player versus player interaction in addition to NPCs, non-player controls. And you're kind of breaking into a castle to steal the king's money and keep it for yourself. Not very Robin Hood-ish, but kind of Robin Hood-ish. So I'm not completely sold on this, and they haven't released, like, a date on this when it's going to hit, just that it's going to hit. So I'm waiting for more information. So, you know, as much as I know, I'm not out yet, but I'm just kind of like, give me some more information. And the graphics and what I've seen of the game, they look kind of cool, but at the same point, I'm just not 100% sold on it. What else is going on in video games? The skins for Overwatch were great. Got my Ghostbuster stuff in Rocket League. Didn't do Fortnite just because, well, it's Fortnite, and I can't play that game. I'm with Private Cheeseburger. I can't do it. No matter how much people ask me to, no. Also, as a friendly reminder to my Call of Duty buddies out there, don't forget, November 13th, we will see Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War hit. I saw a few commercials during, again, football, and I guess that's the demographic. I don't know. But we haven't had a Cold War game for quite a while, so this actually could be kind of fun, relive a little bit of 80s nostalgia. But of course, the Modern Warfare Warzone, everyone was a little up in arms as far as what's going to happen to them, because since they're stepping away from that and doing Black Ops, evidently they are going to integrate as far as online, so we'll see what that does. I don't know what that actually means or what that looks like, so I guess we will find out together. I don't know how you integrate those two. I really don't. So we'll see how they decide to handle that online play. But at least November 13th, something to play, because I'm running out. I do know that the Star Wars ship game, damn it, I can't think of it, also landed, which I'm probably going to go pick up this next week. Which looks like fun. Got a huge recommendation for it, so I was like, all right. And it was from someone that I normally don't, I didn't even know played Star Wars games. So for them to say yay, yeah, carries a little bit of weight with me. What else? That is about it. Like I said, there's like stuff going on, but there's not a whole lot as we, you know, get out of October, start heading towards the end of the year. What, pray tell, is in store for us is an excellent question. In the meantime, we'll be here. We will be delivering your geek news, your information. I don't know if we broke this in... We may not have. I may not have said this. But unfortunately, Rocky Mountain Con is canceled due to flare-ups in the coronavirus here in Colorado. Rocky Mountain Con has decided to wait and postpone till next year and work towards that date instead of putting people at risk, making an uncomfortable situation more uncomfortable by, you know, holding a con. And we get it. We understand. We are here to help. We want to comfort people. So absolutely, we'll get you by in the end of the day. And this is probably the best choice for all parties concerned. We know that our creatives are hurting out there. Visit their websites, especially our sponsor, Suzy Q. Red's got her page, her Society 6 for her booze. Please visit her page in addition to our own, where we, you know, have our t-shirts, hoodies, and other things available for purchase. So that does help with us, with the creative process, and to continue moving forward towards 2021. But that's all I got for my public service announcement. In the meantime, we'll keep an eye on what's going on for the Geekverse for you. Come back next week and I'll have something else for you. In the meantime, run fast, laugh hard, and always be kind.